Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to game two of this regional final series matchup between your Ira Bulldogs and the Nazareth Swifts. Hopefully it is game two of a three-game series as Ira Bulldogs came out on the short end last night by a count of 3-2 as the Swifts scored two runs in the bottom of the sixth inning to take game one. But we hope to go ahead and hang around for two games today as the Bulldogs battle back in this regional final. 106 degrees right now at game time as teams are about ready to take the field, and about a 15 to 20 mile an hour wind. As someone said as I came in, well, at least it's an artificial turf field. And I'm not sure at 106 degrees that that's really going to make a whole lot of difference for these ball clubs. The one thing in their favor at this point, and if it stays this way, it will be at least a little helpful, is there is a heavy cloud cover as we get ready to start this game. So we can go ahead and keep the clouds up and maybe not allow that sun to just absolutely beat down and bake both of these teams, so we'll be in good shape. I thought last night that the stadium was full, that the seats were filled, that the fans couldn't hold any more people, and I believe I was wrong, as today we have jam-packed more people in here than I believe we even had last night. Of course, there were still some graduations going on around the area, and it looks like everyone has come out to support either the Nazareth Swifts or the Ira Bulldogs today. Again, a great pitching matchup yesterday as Trent Gerber, Nazareth ace, went up against Gary Pena, and both of them threw. I think Gerber ended up in the mid-80s for a pitch count, while Gary was around 90, 92 pitches for the ball game. But well-played game, and just a couple of errors on the part of the Ira Bulldogs as they were able to go ahead of the game by one run in the top of the sixth inning, 2-1, just weren't able to hold on, and the Bulldogs were shut out in the top of the seventh inning as they tried to go ahead and mount a comeback. So hoping again for a different outcome in game two to push us to game three. Not very many changes in either lineup. As a matter of fact, batting orders for both teams identical from last night. The only thing that has changed are a couple of positions, as Gerber, the starting pitcher last night, moves to shortstop, and Carson Hyman, who was the starting short last night, moves to the pitching rubber. And that's it for the Nazareth, as they will go ahead and just make that two-player swap. Not a whole lot different on the Bulldog side, as Gary Pena will move from the pitching rubber to shortstop. Anthony Luna moves one position to the right and takes over third base duties today. And Brighton Partain will move from third to the mound as a starting pitcher for the Ira Bulldogs. Brighton has done an exceptional job this year. He's a junior, and basically the 1-2 punch of Gary Pena and Brighton have provided a lot of spark for the Bulldogs, been able to keep us in a lot of games until our bats came alive and able to put opponents away. So looking for good things from him. Just need to get the bats on the ball a little more than what we were able to do last night. Had a few runners in scoring position and came up just empty. But a well-played game by both teams, a tight game, and this is what you would expect not only in a regional final, but in a matchup of two of the three undefeated teams in the state of Texas left in the playoffs. So Bulldogs now with the one loss on the season, they've had all night to think about it. Don't really want them to get over it. Just want them to kind of stew on it a little bit, see how it feels. In fact, they don't like losing ball games, and come back in this game too and be able to go ahead and force, as we said before, a game three for the regional final. These are the kind of games that it is fun to come to the ballpark for. And just two good teams two good coaches and two fan bases that obviously are exceptional, as they have both shown up. Ira Bulldogs, I've now been at Ira finishing my 14th year, and I have been involved with a lot of schools, and have umpired, have coached, have just been a fan, and I have never seen the kind of support for a team that that Ira puts out. And that's whether you're listening on the radio or on the internet right now, or out here sweltering in 106 degree temperatures, whether you've gone through snow, ice, and hail at a football game, it doesn't matter. Ira Bulldog Athletics seems to bring out the best not only in our kids but also in our communities. And we are very proud to be a part of the Bulldog family and Bulldog Nation. So today we again hope that we move to a game three, and I will say this, if we do, obviously it's going to make for a late night, maybe a few groggy folks at church services in the morning, but, you know, we do what we do, and I think he understands, and I believe that it would be well worth it in this particular case to go ahead and get the Bulldogs their first shot at a state title. Ira Bulldogs will be the home team in this first game this afternoon, and so we will see very quickly how our defense responds. Last night, played a very tough game up through about the fifth inning is when we had an error, and the two errors in the sixth that cost us a couple of runs. But up to that point, made some exceptional plays behind Jared Pena. Again, Jared Pena behind the plate and getting ready to go ahead and catch Bryce Partain as this game gets underway. Want to also thank our sponsors. I'm probably going to do things a little differently today, is since I'm by myself in this broadcast and trying to read all the notations and everything on the sponsors. I do want to get through them as many times as possible, because they do deserve our appreciation and acknowledgement for their part in making these broadcasts possible. But I'm probably going to spend most of the time just running through the names, reminding you who our sponsors are, and asking you to make sure, if you have an opportunity, if you have a need, that you take advantage of what our sponsors are offering, and just thank them. That you, if you don't need them, then just thank them. I mean, we can do that as well. But an appreciation for what they've done in order to go ahead and make these broadcasts possible. Also, last night, I had a couple people tell me that the sound wasn't very loud. This booth that I'm in has metal all around it, and it's very hollow. So I've moved a lot of my equipment around today. I'm hoping that it's going to be better quality-wise. And, you know, those of you who texted me yesterday, if you get an opportunity to go ahead and text today just to let me know what it's sounding like, if it's sounding better, or if I need to do something else, then we will go ahead and try that. But both teams threw their warm-ups. Bryson Partain finished his warm-up pitches, and we are just moments away from getting game two of this three-game set underway between your Iowa Bulldogs and the Nazareth Swifts. Again, Bryson Partain, the starting pitcher, and Luke Schultz, the catcher, in the box to start the at-bat for today's game. Last night, he started the game by hitting a long fly ball at the center field that kept carrying, made it over Zane Allen's head and kind of stuck at the base of the wall, and he was able to get all the way around for the opening run on the end of the park home run for the Swifts. First pitch is a foul ball back. Next pitch goes to third base. Anthony Luna one hopper and runs through the ball, fires it to Drew Porter at first base for out number one. An excellent play by Anthony Luna. It looked like he was going to have to take it on the second hop, but he was able to get there in time and make the play. The one out has come to the second batter of the inning, the pitcher today, Carson Hyman. Partain ready for the delivery. And pitch number one is popped up to right field. And another pitch, another out, as he flies out to Ike Weaver in right field. Ike made a great play last night. I've got somebody telling me speakers are off, but that's not over. Yeah, they're trying to tell me that the speakers aren't on, but it's not my speaker. It's actually the guys next door, so go ahead and direct that where it needs to be. Again, two outs now. Strike on the first pitch to the batter. Brighton comes back, the ball in the dirt. Count evens at 1-1. And I got confirmation that's a little bit tinny, but sounds better tonight. And probably about the best we can do in this scenario, as the ball dropped. Ike Weaver came in charging hard for the ball, and Lexton Hernandez went out, and the ball was able to fall between them, bounces up, and the batter able to get to second base. So a fly ball to right field, and Gerber is on. And we'll go ahead and give him a double on that. As there wasn't an error, no one could get there in time. But Tanner Birkenfield, now the center fielder, the cleanup hitter, lefty for the Swifts. Gerber at second base. And the ball is popped out and back, and Jaron Pena dives and extends as far as he can, just misses the ball. So it's a foul ball for strike one, but Jaron with an amazing attempt. I didn't think he was going to be able to get close to it, but just tipped off the side of his glove. So no balls, one strike, two outs here in the top of the first. Gerber, the runner at second base on a seeing eye double to shallow right center field. Partain sets. And brings a curveball that umpire doesn't think caught the plate as it stayed a little bit to the outside. So, ball one. Here's the count. And just sets up outside again as Brighton comes back. A little low on the outside corner for ball two. Two balls and one strike. On the batter, Tanner Birkenfeld, the center fielder for the Swifts. Right, taking his time on the pitching rubber. Comes in, pop up again behind the plate. And this time, Jaron able to run it down. Foul ball, and the batter is out. Out number three in the top of the first inning, and excellent pitching by Brighton Partain as he induces a couple of pop-ups and a ground out. Three outs, runner stranded at second base in Trent Gerber. And so your Ira Bulldogs will come to the plate. Anthony Luna, Brighton Partain, and Jared Pena, the 1-2-3 batters in the order, as they will face Carson Hyman. Again, as I mentioned earlier, we wanted to make sure that we thank our sponsors for making this postseason possible to bring it over the air. to you, Pizza Inn, First Church of God, and Ira, Sonic Drive-In, Snyder Iron and Metal, Texas Farm Bureau Insurance, Stormy Sellers, the Farm Bureau agent, Community Bank of Snyder, Industrial Hose and Oil Field Supply, Taylor Ranch and Arrowhead Ranch, the Ira Booster Club, First Baptist Church, Ira, Kim Pack, and Shelby Buckton, Renegade Services, Gary Gustis, Doug and Susie White, longtime supporters and friends of the Ira School District, Ira Athletics, First Baptist Church of Snyder, and Mark and Sheila Harless. We appreciate all of you for allowing this broadcast to be possible and for letting people who aren't able to make it to the game still listen to your Ira Bulldogs baseball team as they have advanced through the playoffs to this point this season, and hope to go ahead and continue on. All it's going to take is win a couple of games today, however long it takes. At this point, it doesn't really matter. It's a do-or-die situation for the Bulldogs, and I like our fight, and I like our chances. Anthony Luna comes to the plate as Hyman has completed his warm-up tosses. Gets ready to lead things off for the Ira Bulldogs. Pitch one, low and outside for ball one. Anthony has been the spark plug for the Bulldogs all season long from the leadoff spot and able to get ahead in the count 2-0 now. Typically, most of his drives left center to center field, right up the middle, and he is a terror once he gets on base. That ball almost gets over the outstretched arm of the catcher, so Anthony finds himself way ahead in the count. Three balls, no strikes to Hyman. Pitches, four balls, as that one is high and outside, so the Ira Bulldogs get on base early. Anthony Luna down to first is Bryson Partain, again, today's starting pitcher, comes to the plate. And unfortunately for the fans outside in the stands, the sun has made its way through the clouds and looks like things are heating up drastically. First pitch to Brighton continues the streak as Hyman throws ball five in a row, ball one, one and a no to count to Bryson Partain. This time, ball hit right up the middle. Anthony was moving on the pitch. He will go ahead and stay at second as the throw comes in. But that time, Brighton met the ball right on the nose and able to hit it right up the middle to Birkenfeld in center field. So just like that, the first two batters for the Ira Bulldogs on base, Luna at second, Partain at first, and Jerry Pena, who went 3-for-3 last night in a losing effort, comes to the plate. Drake swings, catches a little of the ball to bring it back to the backstop for a foul, strike one. Again, bottom of the first inning. Swift had a runner at second base in a scoring position at the top of the first, not able to bring him in. Jarek lifts one deep to center field, and it is caught. Luna had to go all the way back to second base to tag up. Thought at first it was going to be in the gap, but the center fielder catches the ball. Luna, however, able to go ahead and go back, tag up, and still make it to third base. So runners Nendo at first and third. Luna at third. Partain at first. Drew Porter. A big hit last night to right center field and stand up double all the way to the fence. And that's the one that got the Bulldogs ahead as the pitcher gets out. Partain in a rundown between first and second. Partain's trying to go ahead and take enough time to advance Luna home, but instead he is caught stealing by Hyman. And so now Drew becomes even more important here as there are two outs with that play. And it looked at first like Brighton might be able to slide into the tag, but second baseman did a good job of keeping him off the bag as Drew takes ball one high and inside. 1-0 is the count. Two outs, bottom of the first inning. Runner on third. And Drew lifts a high fly ball to the infield. The pitcher is able to make the play. And what started out as a what looked to be a very good half inning for the Iowa Bulldogs ends up with three outs and a runner stranded at third base. Hyman able to go ahead and work himself out of the jam there. So one walk, one hit. Tag out in a rundown, a fly ball to center field, and a pop-up to the pitcher. And the Swiss get out of that half inning with the Bulldogs not able to get a puncher run across. But obviously, it looks like Bulldogs going up aggressive at the plate. And, you know, hopefully that will bode well for us as we go through the course of the game. Again, extremely hot out here. A lot of people with coolers and with ice and towels and every kind of paraphernalia possible in order to try to go ahead and divert some of that heat. But you know, on a field like this, you've got millions and millions of tiny black rubber pellets that are. I'm just watching. Hopefully an umpire came back near where the Iowa Bulldog fans are sitting. And I think the Swiss may have mentioned something about the signs that are being held up. I don't know if they're distracting. I don't know if the color background or whatever is a problem for them. But hopefully an umpire came back, took a look at them, and just kind of shrugged it off. And the thing that is, these seats are about, I don't know, 4 feet off of the turf. And so at that height, I wouldn't think it would really have that much of an effect on either the batter or the pitcher, presumably the pitcher who I was thinking of that may have complained. But in any respect, signs stay up, home plate umpire back behind the catcher, and Brighton Partain getting ready to deliver his first pitch on the top of the second inning. Number 26, Brett Young, the DH for the Swift at the plate. Brighton with a strike on the outside corner. Brighton looks really crisp so far today as he's been hitting inside and outside and able to place that ball pretty much where he wants it. And this time he hit the exact same spot with the exact same result. Batter unable to take a cut at it, kind of frozen in his tracks. So 0-2 is the count on Young. And strike three, Payne just set him up for a high pitch. Brighton delivers it right to Jaron's glove and swing and a miss. So the first batter in the top of the second inning for the Swift goes down, swinging strikeout. First baseman now, Cyril Welch, a lefty. Swift has two lefties in their lineup. Comes to the plate, right in a little low on the outside corner for ball one. Again, I love the way Jaron moves around the plate. He sets things up perfectly, has a big target for his pitcher, and does a great job of framing the pitch. That ball a little up, asked the third base umpire if the batter had gone around. He says no swing, so that ups the count to 2 balls, no strikes, 1 out in the top of the second. Brighton comes in, high fly ball to third base, and the wind is doing some really weird things as Anthony Luna is back about evil with the bag, ends up catching that ball about halfway between third base and the pitching rubber, but does get it for the out, so out number 2 of the half inning for the Ira Bulldogs. Braden Bullard, the third baseman, number 11 for the Swifts, comes to the plate. Bright so far has thrown 16 pitches in 2 innings. That is a pretty economical count by any standard. Swing and a miss on the first pitch, strike 1. And Partain stays high. It worked the first time, and it worked the second time as the batter swings and misses again. Both times, Jaron has set up high and outside, and Brighton delivered. Both times, the batter late in the swing, so the count goes to 0-2, 2 outs. And this ball stays inside and tight for ball 1. Again, a beautiful day here outside of the heat, as it is about 106 degrees in the stands. I'm not sure what it is on the field, but it's obviously no better. As Brighton goes the third time high and outside, and for the third time of the at-bat, the batter is unable to check himself from swinging, so swinging third strike, and the Iowa Bulldogs back in business at the plate, bottom of the second inning, as Jaron Pena will start things off in this half inning. Again, there's been so much said about this contest, not only from the standpoint that both teams came in undefeated, came in, Iowa ranked number 1 in the state in Class A, Nazareth came in at number 2, and probably the most glaring and obvious reason for all of the fanfare and you know, the news and all of that is the fact that Coach Toby Goodwin of the Iowa Bulldogs is facing off against his son Tyler Goodwin, and last night the fact has probably happened over the course of the years in some other sports or where and I realized last night that I said, you know, a father and son, what are the daughters out there too, that have been successful coaches and are currently successful coaches in a variety of sports. So some family member facing another family member is probably not unheard of in the state of Texas in athletics, but in a regional final, we have 2 teams who are undefeated and ranked number 1 and 2. I'm not sure how many times anything like that has happened. So it makes it special for that reason, but outside of that, both of these coaches will tell you that this game is about their boys, about the guys that take the field, that swing the bats, that throw the baseballs around the diamond. So both of them, you know, equally concerned about how things play out for their team more than they are themselves as head coaches. First pitch to Jaron Pena, and it is ball 1, and on the second pitch, he hits a slow roller to third base. Third baseman picks it up, throws it over to first, throws high, and the first baseman extends way off the bag, but is able to go ahead and keep his foot on the base. And so, Jaron, the first out of the inning, as number 21, Caden Castillo, the DH for the Iowa Bulldogs, steps in and takes ball 1. High and inside this time for ball 2, 2-0. Is the count, bottom of the second inning. Both teams have had a runner in scoring position in the first inning. Brighton Partain able to go ahead and take care of business and not allow a base runner in the top of the second. And now we've got Caden trying to do his part, get in on base with a 3-0 count. And the pitcher catches the inside corner for a called strike. So the count, 3-1. And this one is way outside. And unlike the Swift last night that had several batters head down to first base on what they presumed was going to be a 4-0 count, only to get called back on a called strike, Caden waits and gets the word from the home plate umpire that it is truly 4 before heading down to first base. Holden Rios, the left fielder, now at the plate. I'm able to hit the outside corner for a called strike 1. Rios, Allen, and Hernandez have done a good job this year of being able to get hits from the bottom part of the order and turn things over to Luna and company into the top part. Just trying to put the ball in play as Holden takes strike 2 again on the outside corner. Looking at an 0-2 count. And this time the ball just off the plate outside for 1. Caden Castillo on first by virtue of a walk. Zane Allen will be on deck. And this time, Holden almost went for the pitch. It was high outside, and he kind of lunged forward, but able to go ahead, keep the head of the bat back, and did not go through the swing. So count even at 2-2. And again, the pitch is high, so he has fought back from an 0-2 count and has worked the pitcher to a full count. Hyman has thrown 21 pitches now here in 2 innings of work. And the ball gets through the infield on the right side as Holden with an inside out swing. Castillo able to advance all the way to third base as the right fielder fell down. But just an excellent piece of hitting by Rios as he got that ball through the right side, and good running by Caden Castillo. He didn't slow down at second base since the ball was on the right side of the field, and right fielder aided us a little bit by sliding on the turf out there. Caden able to get in standing up, so we now have runners at first and third with one out. Zane Allen at the plate, the Iowa Bulldogs lefty. He's been swinging a hot bat as of late, and a huge hole between first and second as the second baseman is shading towards second. Zane with a swinging strike 1, and it looked like that's exactly where he was aiming to go. Right fielder also well off the line in right field. This time Zane takes the pitch up and out, and it is hit back to the backstop. Foul ball. We've talked so many times this postseason that I have no idea what the count is as far as number of actual hits, but the Iowa Bulldogs have been prolific with 0-2 counts so far in all of their series as Zane now finds himself in an 0-2 count. Holden before him worked from an 0-2 count to a full count before he was able to punch the ball into right field. So Zane now just trying to do all he can to protect the plate and advance the runners. High inside pitch, and Zane unable to hold off. And a swing and a miss for out number 2 of the inning as Lexton Hernandez comes to the plate for the Iowa Bulldogs. Lexton last night with a double that went to right center field. And he holds off on the first pitch as it is low for 1. Again, Castillo at third base, Holden Rios at first base, 2 outs, 1-0 count on the batter, bottom of the second inning, no score. Lexington swings and misses. A little late on the pitch that was up and out, evening the count at 1-1. Pitcher set, delivers, and the ball is well outside, and Holden Rios advances to second as the catcher just threw the ball straight back to the pitcher. And so that's basically defensive indifference, as he didn't make an attempt, just trying to keep that runner at third base. Our Bulldogs trying to induce a throw so they could get the run in. This time Lexington hits the ball over the backstop into the front row of seats and the stands right in front of me. Foul ball, 2 balls, 2 strikes, 2 outs. Bottom of the second inning, a string of 2s. Let's see if Lexington go ahead and put the ball in play, as he has 2 runners in scoring position for the Iowa Bulldogs. And again, fouls the ball straight back, this time staying alive as he was fooled on the off-speed pitch, but able to go ahead and get enough of it to foul it back and give himself another opportunity. Castillo at third, Rios at second. Bulldogs now with runners in scoring position, both innings unable to bring them home in the first. And a called strike 3 on the outside corner. And so the Bulldogs, again, unable to take advantage of runners in scoring position, but hitting the ball and hitting it pretty well so far here in the first 2 innings of play, as the pitcher has thrown in the mid-20s now over the course of 2 innings. Brighton Partain has thrown exactly 20 pitches, 10 pitches per inning, and has done a really good job of keeping the Nazareth Swift batters at bay to this point in the ball game. Rios in left field, Allen in center field, Ike Weaver in right field. Anthony Luna, the third baseman, Jarrett Pena at short. Lexington Hernandez at second, Drew Porter at first, Brighton Partain on the mound, and Jaron Partain behind the plate for the Iowa Bulldogs defensively. Caden Castillo is the DH, sharing duties with Ike Weaver this game. What that will do for the Iowa Bulldogs, we go ahead and take care of business at the top of the third inning, is we will start the bottom of the third with Anthony Luna in the top of the Iowa Bulldog batting order. Iowa Bulldogs last night, good defense, just a couple of miscues, and in a game that is as tight as it was last night, that's pretty much all it takes. You know, both teams used to winning by 14, 15 runs, 20 runs so far in the playoffs, and kind of wondered how last night would go. I thought it would be a low-scoring game just because of the two pitchers involved, and it ended up being exactly that. The Swifts able to take advantage of the miscues by the Bulldogs, but our Bulldogs battling back today in this do-or-die game 2 of 3-game set. Pitch number 1 from Brighton Partain to Jack Welch, a called strike. Brighton delivers in from where I'm sitting anyway. It was in the exact same location, but umpire seeing it as a little low, so 1-1 is the count. And it's not as pitch as high, as Jaron has to get out of his crouch in order to get it. So 2-1. Again, the sun pops from behind the clouds. Just further heating everyone up here as if it wasn't already hot enough. Foul ball. Back into the net. So Welch now with a count of 2 balls, 2 strikes. Top of the third inning, no score. Both teams have had runners in scoring position, but neither team able to go ahead and break through in the scoring column as of yet. And Brighton with a nice pitch up and in and a swinging strike three. So out number one here in the top of the third against the Swift. Will Young, the second baseman, batting ninth in the Nazareth order, set to face Brighton Partain. And he takes the first pitch he sees, laces a line drive single over the head of Anthony Luna. Rios able to get it into Hernandez at second base, hold the runner at first. So back to the top of the order for the Nazareth Swift. Swift, Luke Schultz, the batter. One out, runner at first base here in the top of the third inning as Brighton steps off of the rubber. Brighton taking a look at first base, keep the runner close to the bag. Delivers the ball is high. For ball one, Pena looked at the possibility of throwing down to first base, but runner quickly back to the bag. So 1-0, here's the count. And this time, lost the fly ball into shallow right field. Ike Weaver able to make the play. Now, had the same making as the one that he and Lexton both almost collided on in the first inning that fell for a double. This time, Lexton gives way and Ike comes in, makes a good charging catch on the ball. So out number two now for Brighton Partain and the Ira Bulldog defense. Carson Hyman, the opposing pitcher, comes to the plate. Again, the Swift with a runner on first. And pitch number one is high for ball. Runner not getting too far off the bag at first base. And I'm sure scouting reports out there, they know full well the strength of Jaron Pena's arm and how many runners he has thrown behind at first base this season and gotten out. They don't want to lose a base runner that way as Brighton delivers and again pitches high for ball two. 2-0 is the count. Two outs here in the top of the third inning. And the ball a little bit off the plate on the outside. So ball three, I'm not sure. It is extremely quiet out there right now. Everybody was cheering and all, and the kind of the intensity level has gone up, and everyone is just kind of quieted down on both sides of the stadium here as Brighton gets one in over the plate for a called strike. So Hyman looking at a 3-ball, 1-strike count here in the third, runner at first. And one off the handle is going into shallow center field. The left fielder, center fielder Zane Allen, both collided. It looks like Allen able to hold on to the ball, but both defenders down right now. There's not really been any movement out on the field here. Both runners are still standing out between the bases. The third base umpire does signal out, so Zane Allen able to hold on to the ball. He and Holden Rios really whacked each other. They're both of them looking up, both of them making a play on the ball. It looks like Holden is up. Zane is still down right now. And hopefully just got the wind knocked out of both of them. But an excellent play there by the center fielder, Zane Allen, as he comes to his feet. And both players moving a little slowly, but good to see both of them up off the ground. Just as soon as they collided, they both went down, stayed down, and didn't see any motion at all by the third base umpire who went out, who has the call on the play, until he went out and actually checked on the status of both players, and I guess Zane showed him the ball in his glove. Both guys jogging slowly into the dugout now, and again, looks like had the wind knocked out of them. That would have the potential for disaster in a variety of ways because, number one, he had a runner that was potentially going to score on that if it fell because both of the fielders knocked themselves out of play. And Zane moving in toward the ball, Holden going from his right to his left and not able to really see each other that well. But Zane reached out with his glove. Both of them collided. Both players got up, waving to the fans in the stands now. So looks like they are no worse for the wear. You're talking about a couple of tough guys anyways. Bulldog athletes overall, I just have to say this, and this is one thing that I've seen over the course of the years with them, is they are tough. They don't like to come out of games. They don't like to be rested. They don't like to take time off. And that's a good attribute in most cases. Sometimes you have to force them to go ahead and just get some downtime in order to stay fresh and to stay charged. But these kids are tough. And Holden and Zane, the one good thing about them is if they come up in the batting order this half inning, then that means we will have gone through six hitters, which would bode well for the Bulldogs here in the bottom of the third. Luna steps in. Everybody is ready to resume play. And he hits a one-hopper to the third baseman on the first pitch, makes a long throw over to first. And just like that, the Swifts have the first out of the bottom of the third on a hard ground ball from Luna to Welch, or from Buller to Welch. Brighton Partain in at the plate. Reaches out, slaps one to right field. This was going to fall in front of the right fielder. Second baseman knew he didn't have a play on it, gave up on it. Right fielder not able to come in fast enough as Brighton just took that pitch where it came, outside corner of the plate, and hit it into shallow right center field. And so he is on base. Coach Tyler Goodwin comes out, talks to the home plate umpire as Jared Tanya steps in, the number three hitter for the Bulldogs, one out here in the bottom of the third. Pitch is outside for ball one. Brighton Partain at first. The pitch is high and outside. Looked like an intentional pitch out, as they might have thought Partain would be going. Two balls, no strikes. Ball gets away from the catcher, comes to the backstop, and Brighton is able to advance. So now, the Bulldogs with a runner in scoring position for the third half inning in a row, and I'm not sure what the call is, but Jared's being awarded first base. So we have runners at first and second, still trying to sort this out. There's really been no indication of what the call was, as Jerry would have had a 3-0 count, but he was awarded first base. The wild pitch moved Brighton Partain down to second. Drew Porter comes up and hits the ball to deep right center field, almost exactly where he hit it yesterday. This is going to go all the way to the wall. The Ira Bulldogs with one run in, a second run in, and Drew Porter slides into third base with a triple to right center field. That was a line drive triple. As two Ira Bulldogs score on the hit. Don't tell me big guys can't run, because I just watched Drew Porter take off and not hesitate at second base as the ball was being relayed in, and slid into third. Didn't even have to, as they didn't even make the throw. But if that was an exact duplicate of the hit he had last night, with one exception, this time he gets three bases instead of two, just because that outstanding hustle. So now he is a third base as Jaron Tania comes to the plate. One out here in the bottom of the third, with the Ira Bulldogs now leading 2-0. Just a nice piece of hitting for Drew. He came to the plate looking for a particular pitch, got it right out of the box, and just put his bat out there and able to drive it to deep right center field. Pitch two is low to Jaron. One ball, one strike. One out here in the bottom of the third. Porter at third base. And this ball is going to be hit into shallow right field, falling in for yet another single. Drew will score easily from third base. And the Ira Bulldogs able to put three runs on the board here in the bottom of the third. Again, Jaron fought the pitch off, went inside out on the swing, and able to dump it down the line well beyond the reach of the first baseman and well in front of the right fielder. So, Porter, by virtue of the triple, and then the single by Jaron Tania, scores, makes the score 3-0 here in the bottom of the third inning. Number 21, Caden Castillo, the DH today for the Ira Bulldogs, comes to the plate. Pitch over the outside corner for a called strike one. And this time, hits a little number right out in front of home plate. Umpire quickly on it says that it hit the plate first, which makes it a foul ball. So the runner retreats back to first base. Castillo back in the box with an 0-2 count. One out. Bottom of the third inning. Iowa Bulldogs, three runs across have had to be so far to lead the game 3-0. And Caden Frozen on the pitch hit the outside corner, so he called strike three for out number two of the half inning. Hyman pitch count has now reached 43. As number 24, Holden Rios, and I told you, if he was able to get up, he and Zane either one, as they hit back-to-back, then that means that Iowa Bulldogs will have done some damage. Holden gets up, puts another one into right field. Right fielder able to come in and make the catch. But not before your Iowa Bulldogs put three runs on the board here in the bottom of the ninth, of the, bottom of the ninth. I'd say bottom of the seventh. The bottom of the third inning, and finally able to break through as they have had runners in scoring position each of the first three innings. But this time they put together a great at-bat, two runners on for Drew Porter as he hits one to the gap in right center field all the way to the fence. Got on his horse right out of the batter's box, able to hustle into third base. For a triple, Jaron Pena puts a laces a single into right field, and Porter able to score. So just like that, Iowa Bulldogs with three runs on the board, and so far the way Brighton has been pitching and the way the defense has been playing behind him, you'd have to say that to this point anyway is a fairly substantial lead for the Bulldogs. Top of the fourth, the Swifts will send Gerber, Birkenfeld, and Young to the plate. Number two, three, and four hitters. So this will be kind of a good show as to how the Bulldogs are going to go down the stretch here as they're hitting the heart of the Swifts lineup. See if they can answer the call, or if the Bulldogs go ahead and use this momentum from the offensive side to convert over to the defense. Gerber in the on pitch rubber. It's it. Three. We're still waiting as Brighton takes his time. Breaking ball over the inside part of the plate for a call to strike one. And that is the major difference between Pena. He likes to work fast. He gets the ball and gets it back in a hurry. Brighton takes his time, and I think sometimes that just frustrates the batter to no end, not knowing exactly what is going to be receiving the pitch, as Brighton will stand there and wait him out. This time the ball up and in. Gerber takes a cut and foul tips it back into Jaron's glove for strike two. 0-2 is the count here in the top of the fourth. And this ball sails over Gerber's head for ball one. But sometimes Brighton will go ahead and get the ball back, and within 3-4 seconds make the pitch. Sometimes it's 6-7 seconds before he is ready to make his delivery. This time an off-speed pitch hangs up and in. Gerber gets around on it, fouls it off down the third baseline, a long fly ball foul. Count remains 1-2. Lead off batter for the Swifts here in the top of the fourth inning. Right set and the delivery. Outside, ball two, count evens at 2-2. Right, and trying not to give Gerber anything that he can get a good stick on here. And strike three, rising fastball on the outside corner. Gerber couldn't hold up. Swings and misses for out number one here in the top of the fourth. Tanner Birkenfeld, now the center fielder, one of two lefties for the Swifts, comes to the plate. Lexan Hernandez playing a little close to the first, kind of covering the hole. Jerry Pena making the switch from straight up shortstop to just about 10, 15 feet off of the second base bag, and somewhat of a shift. Ball hit into left field. It's going to get over White Ike Weaver's head all the way to the fence. Birkenfeld at second. Trying for three, and he will be sliding hit first into third base with a triple. The first pitch was up and in, and he was able to just turn on it, and Ike didn't really have a chance. All he could do was track it down to the fence and get it back in as quickly as possible. But it was hit on a rope. So with one out here in the top of the fourth inning, the Swifts with a runner at third base, one out. Brett Young at the plate. Pitch up and in for ball one. Young struck out swinging the last time up. And Brighton would definitely like to go ahead and have a repeat of that this time around as well. Brighton with the delivery. Ball is fouled straight back into the net. Brighton taking a long time before his delivery, looking at the runner at third base, making sure that he only takes as short a lead as we can possibly allow him to have, make things tougher for him to get home. One ball, one strike. Top of the fourth, one out. Ira Bulldogs up 3-0. And a foul ball again straight back. As Partain ahead in the count now, 1-2. Bulldogs would love to get out of this half inning, keeping that runner at third base and maintaining that 3-0 lead. Brighton doing his part. Ahead in the count, one ball, two strikes. Runner third with a short lead. Guerin setting up outside. And the ball comes a little wide outside. He's able to smother it. Keep it in front of him. So ball two. Two balls and two strikes. Right, again, looking the runner back at third base, keeping him close to the base. Delivers a fly ball to center field. Zane Allen takes it. The throw coming home is going to be late. And so the fly ball out to center scores a run for the Swifts. They get one back. Ira Bulldogs with the out. Good to see Zane make the play there. He and Holden, obviously, both back into good shape. Birkenfeld with the leadoff triple, and then the Swifts able to score the run on what ends up being a sacrifice fly to right center field. So two outs now in the top of the fourth. Ira Bulldogs maintain a 3-1 lead. And the first baseman, Sterl Welch, comes to the plate. Partain with a pitch outside for ball one, 1-0. And this time he catches the outside corner for a called strike, evening the count at 1-1. Searle Welts, the second lefty of the order for the Niagara Swift. Fly ball to right field. Ike Weaver goes back and handles it. So out number three for the Iowa Bulldogs. They get out of the inning, only allowing one run on a hit and a sacrifice fly. And they will come back in and see if they can add to their score. 3-1, bottom of the fourth inning. Iowa Bulldogs went to lead in this game two of a best of three series for the regional championship and opportunity to play in 2 weeks at the state baseball tournament. Don't miss the UIL baseball state championship starting Wednesday, June the 8th at UFCU Dish Falk Field in Austin and the Dell Diamond in Round Rock, Texas. Ticket information and more can be found at uiltexas.org. And they want to make sure that they get the word out that as many fans as possible are able to make it down to Austin to watch the state finals for Class A. That would be June 8th and 9th as the state baseball tournament runs from the 8th to the 11th. Class A, Class 1, 2 and 3, or 1, 2 and 4 will play Tuesday or Wednesday and Thursday. Now I'm getting you all screwed up here. The 8th and the 9th, Wednesday and Thursday, is when hopefully your Iowa Bulldogs will be playing in the state championship. Zane Allen, the leadoff batter for the Iowa Bulldogs here in the bottom of the fourth inning, takes a ball low. A one hopper to second base. I think at first everyone thought that was going to go up the middle, but they had overplayed him a little more to the center of the field. And so a one hopper to the second baseman throws him out at first. And that will bring up Lexan Hernandez, the second baseman for the Iowa Bulldogs. Pitch number one, he fouls straight back into the net. I can't really see any flags around here or anything, but I'm looking at Lexan's jersey, their home plate, and the front of it is flapping like crazy. So the wind has really got to have picked up here as he swings at a high pitch for strike number two. But I mean, it must really be blowing. 0-2, here's the count. Pitch way outside, ball one. Again, the Bulldogs are a very tough team to get out, even with two strikes on them throughout the course of the year, and particularly in the playoffs as he stays alive, fouls the ball back to the netting again. The count maintains one ball, two strikes. One out here in the bottom of the fourth. The Iowa Bulldogs ahead 3-1. Lexan reaches out. Ball's going into right center field. Will drop for a single. So just like that, another two-strike hit for the Iowa Bulldogs. As he is able to put the ball in. Now we get back to the top of the order. Anthony Luna now with one out. Lexan Hernandez, good runner at first base following that single into right center field. Pitch right down the middle for a called strike one. Looks like they're squeezing the middle on Anthony. There's a huge hole between third and short. Third baseman playing close to the bag. And he takes it to right field. It's going to be a fair ball. is going to go all the way to the fence. Lexan Hernandez rounding third. He's coming home. Luna to third base, standing up. And a stand-up triple for Anthony Luna. He just laced that ball about a foot inside the right field line to Hopper to the fence. That was a tremendous piece of hitting there. I would love it every time Game Changer has a runner at home. They're like, was he safe or out? Yeah, he was definitely safe. So the Ira Bulldogs was able to go ahead and get that run back that they gave up in the top of the inning, resume their 3-run lead. Brighton Partain at the plate, takes ball two, 2 balls, no strikes. Anthony Luna at third base, 1 out here in the bottom of the fourth. Ira Bulldogs ahead 4-0. And now Partain ahead in the count, 3-0. Hyman for the game now has thrown 55 pitches. And ball four is outside. The Ira Bulldogs now with runners at the corner. As Jerick Pena comes to the plate. And that's one thing I've really noticed in these first four innings for our Bulldogs is they have been pounding right field mercilessly. I mean, we have one left-handed batter, but our right-handed hitters have come up with an open stance, and any outside pitch, they have just laced to the opposite field. Jerry Sett takes ball one outside. Jerry's not the guy that you want to get behind in the count and then have to lay one over the middle. A team will make you pay for it as well. Ball again off the plate on the outside. Hyman has now thrown 6 consecutive balls. Two balls, no strikes. 1 out here in the bottom of the fourth. Runners at first and third for the Bulldogs. One Hopper to third base. He looks the runner back to third. He might have had an opportunity at a double play, but wanted to make sure Luna didn't take off from third. So we now have runners at second and third. As number 32, Drew Porter. Last time up, hit a shot to deep right center field for a triple. Takes a pitch on the outside corner of the plate for a called strike one. 2 outs, bottom of the fourth. Ira Bulldogs lead 4-1. No balls, 1 strike to count. And this ball way outside, almost got away from the catcher, which definitely would have resulted in a run with Luna at first or third base. Catcher able to go ahead and keep the ball in front of him. Count evens at 1-1. Again, high outside. Ball two. You would think, given the fact they've seen Drew hit 2 shots to right center field, they might not want to go outside on him, but that's pretty much where Hyman has been staying so far. And the catcher has to come up out of his crouch for the third straight pitch. So Drew works his way out of an 0-1 count to a 3-1 count. With 2 outs here, runners at second and third, and there is no chance for him to swing at that pitch, as it was high and outside. I'm not sure they just went ahead and put him on, given the fact that he's had such success the last 2 nights, and with 2 runners in scoring position, didn't want to give him really anything to hit after that first strike. Jaron Pena now the hitter. It's a ball down the first baseline, foul for strike one. Bases full of Bulldogs. And one hopper to shortstop doesn't make the play. It picks it up, tries to throw Luna out at first base. Jaron beats the throw. And so on the air, Jaron Pena able to score Luna from third base. There was a sharp ground ball, but the shortstop looked like he had a fielder cleanly, tried to get it from his glove to his hand to make the throw to first base. The ball dropped out, picked it up, and by that time, Jaron was already safely across the bank. Luna was across home plate. Caden Castillo, the batter, pitch number one right across the plate for a called strike one. Now, slow roller to shortstop, and he throws the ball away. First baseman has to dive off of first to stop the ball from going into right field. And so, back-to-back errors by the shortstop. And the Iowa Bulldogs pick up yet another run with two outs. And another ball to the shortstop. This time he's not even going to take a throw. He's going to go ahead and run to second base. Castillo almost beats him to the bag. But the third out finally for the Swifts, but not before the Iowa Bulldogs add to their lead. I tell you what, just good, stout hitting by the Iowa Bulldogs, timely hitting. I'm looking over the left field fence right now, and I talked a minute ago about Lexton Hernandez's jersey flapping in the wind. This field is surrounded by fields, and I mean plowed fields. And all of a sudden, the dirt and dust is rising. It's about 8 to 10 feet in the air coming in from left field. And everybody kind of hunkering down right now. It just got a lot darker. I know there were outside chances of a stray thunderstorm this afternoon. But it has gotten increasingly dark out here all of a sudden. Iowa Bulldogs, and there comes the wind. It's probably gusting about 25, 30 miles an hour right now. Top of the fifth. With batter comes, the plate is all kinds of debris is starting to fly around here. And Brighton Seth delivers. And the batter makes an attempt at a bunt as the ball gets under Pena. So it will be strike one on the batter. Ball hit to second base. Lexton Hernandez waits for it to come down and easily makes the catch. our Bulldogs with one quick out here in the top of the fifth inning. Jack Welch, number 8, the right fielder, at the plate. Bright trying to get the dirt out of his eyes. All of a sudden, I can barely see Holden Rios and Zane Allen in the outfield at left and center for the amount of dirt that has now come onto the ball field. Foul ball back over the net. Strike one, one out here in the top of the fifth inning. Payne is set up for a high strike. Partain delivers. Batter swings and misses. Strike two. 0-2, it is the count. One out on the fly ball to second base. Fly ball down the left field line will be foul, so the count holds at 0-2 here in the top of the fifth. One out.
You what?
Pitch a little high and outside, so count moves to one ball, two strikes. One out here in the top of the fifth inning. And called strike three, outside corner of the plate for out number two. Strike three looking for Brighton Partain as the Swifts now looking at two outs here in their half of the fifth inning. Will Young, the second baseman, now the batter for the Swifts. Partain, 53 pitches for the game. Far here into the fifth inning. Ball hit foul down the right field foul line for strike one. Again, Partain very efficient today on his pitches, averaging about 10 pitches per inning so far here. The defense has done a good job behind him. Right now, looking out at the field, you can barely see the outfielders as the dirt has really come in off of the left field fence. Again, plowed fields all over the place around here. So once that wind kicks up, it makes it almost impossible to see. One ball, one strike, two outs here in the top of the fifth inning. Partain sets the pitch. Inside corner, called strike. So one ball, two strikes, two outs. Top of the fifth. Batter steps out. Brighton steps off the pitching rubber. Everybody trying to clear the dirt from their eyes, the debris off the field. As things have really picked up here. One ball, two strikes, two outs. Partain sets and delivers. Hat comes off. Ball goes way outside. Pena has to come out of his crouch to go ahead and corral it. Evens the count at 2-2. Yeah, basically all of the buildings that you used to be able to see when we started the game over the outfield fences, you really can't see much of anything right now. Count goes full. And you've got to wonder right now with Brighton having such good command throughout the first five and a third innings of this ball game, or four and a third, that the wind has really got to be creating havoc out there for him. High strike three as the batter swings through it, and that is the third out in the top of the fifth inning on the swing and miss. So your Bulldogs will come to bat. And everybody's gathering at on both sides. Carson Hyman with 69 pitches thrown so far here in the ball game. I don't believe that he has gone a full game this entire season. So kind of uncharted territory for him. A couple of errors on the Swifts this last half inning. Bulldogs gave him a go ahead and stretched their lead. Trying to see the scoreboard out there. I knew it was 6-1. That may be 7-1 at this point. Can't read the scoreboard. Can't read anything on the outfield stands. Hoping whatever this is goes around. We know that there's a stray thunderstorm this afternoon. Just hope that it decides to land someplace else at this point. We'd take it in Snyder right now if we could get it. So if it decides to go that far south, then good for everybody. Zane Allen will be the first batter for the Iowa Bulldogs here in the bottom of the fifth inning. Zane and Holden Rios in a major collision in the outfield on a ball that Zane was able to go and hold on to for the out, the third out of the inning. But both he and Holden back up, staying in the lineup. And Zane leading things off here for the Iowa Bulldogs. The delivery, Zane swings at the first pitch. The ball is carrying, goes over the right fielder as Zane rounds second base, heads to third, and he is going to be into third standing up. The ball got up and over the right fielder. He just kept carrying as he tried to track it down. And Zane with a leadoff triple to start things off here in the bottom of the fifth inning for the Iowa Bulldogs. A bloop to first base by Langston Hernandez, and the first baseman catches the ball. Zane has to stay at third base. The one out here in the bottom of the fifth. I have some visitors in the booth right now trying to stay away from the bad weather out there. Fly ball to right field by Anthony Luna. It's going to be deep enough as Zane Allen is able to tag and comes home. So fly ball to right. Runner advances. Iowa Bulldogs put another run on the board. Right in Partain up. Pitch inside for ball one. Two outs here in the bottom of the fifth inning. That ball way outside gets away from the catcher to the backstop for two balls, no strikes. Again, Hyman has never gone this deep in a game this year, so for him to be out there, talk about the wind creating havoc, a pop fly to first base. He comes in and has to circle back and go back about 10 feet off of first base to make the catch, but he does hold on to the ball for the third out of the half inning, but not before the Iowa Bulldogs are able to go ahead and put another run on the board. As we head into the top of the sixth, it's looking more and more like there will be a game three. It's kind of what you would expect in a situation like this with two teams of this caliber, number one, number two in the state coming in to this playoff series. Iowa Bulldogs suffered their first loss yesterday, 3-2, and they may be able to return the favor if they go ahead and take care of business for the next couple of innings here against the Swifts and give Nazareth their first loss of the season, where it all comes down to one single game as to who's going to advance from a regional finals to the Texas State Playoff Championship starting June the 8th. Everything out here is blowing around. I don't know how much it's really done for the fans as far as the temperature is concerned. It was 106 degrees at game time when we started, and that was with cloud cover. And then burned off, and so we just got straight line heat, and now we have clouds and birds and everything else affects us. Oh my, pretty much. That's why a lot of people in West Texas prefer indoor sports. High school baseball in Texas has not got the funds to have indoor stadiums, though. We play with or against the weather, but we're going to play in the weather one way or the other. Partain set to deliver to Luke Schultz, who is a leadoff batter for Nazareth. Ball low in the dirt for ball one. Again, you figure we get through the first three hitters here for Nazareth, have a pretty good chance of putting things away as we are in the top of the sixth inning. Pitch high, count goes to 2-0. Partain still is only throwing 61 pitches in this entire game, so very economical pitch count to this point. Jaron has to come up out of his stance as the ball is high. So 3-0, count all on the leadoff batter as Jaron takes time out and goes out and talks to Brighton. Might have to make a little change in his pitching delivery with this wind. I can now see the flags out in right center field on the pole, and it looks like the wind is trying to rip them off. Fans get behind Brighton here is he gets set to deliver. A 3-0 is the count. Leadoff batter here and the top of the sixth inning. Schultz bunt, but the pitch is high, so ball four, and Schultz ends up leadoff runner at first base. Carson Hyman, the pitcher for Nazareth in his first game today, comes to the plate. Batting out of the two hole. Show with a pretty sizable lead at first base. Brighton notices, throws back. Finding he's able to slide in. Again, Brighton very methodical on the pitching rubber. Takes his time where Garrett would have probably thrown two pitches by now. Brighton is getting himself set for pitch one. And the runner is off. And the tag is there as Jaron Painter throws a laser one hopper to second base. And so the batter takes the pitch. The runner takes off but is eliminated. By a great throw from Jaron Pena. Hyman with the foul. Things clearing up a little bit now. Looks like the wind is still kicked up like crazy, but at least the dust has settled a little bit. I can see the fielders now, which is an improvement. Hyman swings the ball, going to Hernandez at second. Lexton picks it up, two hops, throws the ball to Drew at first base, and out number two of the inning. Now, Trent Gerber, the shortstop today, is the starting pitcher in last night's duel with Gary Pena, comes to the plate. Two outs, top of the sixth inning. Brighton takes so long that Gerber decides to ask for time to step out of the batter's box. Last time Gerber was up, I think Brighton took about 10 seconds before he delivered the first pitch, and it was a strike that Gerber couldn't decide to swing. May have been all that time going to sleep in the batter's box. Pitch outside and high, ball one. One of those accounts, two outs here in the top of the sixth for the Swifts. Gets the outside corner, called strike. Evens the count at 1-1.
So can either of you see if that is a 7 or an 8? 8-1 or 7? 7-1.
Good. You better eyes than I have. I would think with a field this huge, I mean, it's gigantic. And they've got this scoreboard out in left field that I need binoculars in order to see. But fortunately, I've got somebody here with younger eyes than mine, and they're able to see it. That we are up 7-1. But, I mentioned that last night. It's like a dinky little scoreboard for how elaborate this field is. Like, I think somebody could have put a few thousand dollars more in and, got regulation size numbers or something instead of six inch numbers. But then I have to laugh because my wife said, yeah, it's probably just your eyes. So there's that. And I don't argue with her, so I just get help and it's 7-1. Our Bulldogs are ahead. But I still think they should get a new scoreboard. Partain again, slow playing. Comes to the plate, and high strike. Gerber again can't pull it up on it, and swings and misses for strike three. So our Bulldogs come to bat. Bottom of the sixth inning, ahead 7-1, thanks to the help of my spotter in here. And I'll tell you what, it's looking, like I said, more and more like we're going to have a game three. I told Roger Goodwin, Toby's dad, as we came in and I came up to the booth, I said, well, this is just game two of three. And he thought that would be a good call. So, he and I are on the same page with that one. But I'll tell you what, I coached Toby, I'm old enough to. But Coach Tyler, when he was at Ira, and we went to the state track meet and the high jump, and just absolutely love all four of their kids. And I told Toby yesterday, I said, man, I love your kids, but you're my brother. And he and I have been doing this now for 14 years together at Ira. So, I want things to go ahead and fall his way today and for us to play the way I know we could play. And Tyler and Toby will always be two of my best buds. So, either way, somebody in the Goodwin family is going to be happy. Somebody's not going to be happy. But, two class guys, a class family, and Tyler's starting his own family. So we've got the next generation coming up. But just a fun time. And I know both of these guys have really tried to emphasize the point. You've had all of this notoriety and all of this exposure about Goodwin versus Goodwin and father versus son and all of this. And both of them will be the first to tell you that it's all about the guys, that it's about their players and their teams. And that's just kind of class guys that they are and class coaches that they are. And it's just fun to be around guys like that. And I just count myself lucky to have been around both of them. We start the bottom of the sixth inning. Derek Pena at the plate. Fouls the second pitch off. First pitch called ball one. So even the count, one ball, one strike. And pitch hit the outside corner for a called strike two. One ball, two strikes, no outs. He fights off the pitch, hits the ball to right field in the air. Right fielder able to go ahead and get under this one for out number one. And Ben Moore, I hope that you're having a really good time in Alaska, because trying to do all this by myself has been all kinds of fun. Can't tell you how much. So hope you and your family are having a good time. And I hear all about it and have a lot of pictures when you get back, because I've got a lot to say to you. So I know you're listening from Alaska. So have fun while it lasts, brother. Swinging strike. First pitch low to Drew Porter. One ball, one strike, one out here in the bottom of the sixth inning. Iowa Bulldogs lead 7-1. In game two of this best of three set, pitch catches the inside corner for strike two. So one ball, two strikes on Drew. And swinging strike three. So Hyman really hanging in there for the Swifts. And again, kind of uncharted territory for him, but he's doing a good job. 83 pitches to this point for Carson, and two outs here in the bottom of the sixth inning. So Jaron Pena not able to hold off on that high pitch and swings and misses for strike one. Second pitch is high for a ball. One and one's the count. Again, two outs here in the bottom of the sixth. Iowa Bulldogs with a 7-1 lead. Nazareth won game one last night, 3-2. So this would even things up and force us to a game three if the Bulldogs are able to hold on in the top half of the seventh inning. Ball to third base. Third baseman does a good job getting the ball on a short hop and able to throw Pena out. So that is the end of the sixth. Iowa Bulldogs lead 7-1. Nazareth with their last opportunity here in regulation, down six runs as they try to go ahead and come back in this one. Game three, I believe that Nazareth, their catcher, will pitch for them. I'm not sure who would be on the mound for the Bulldogs. I know Gerber has about 20-some pitches left, so he could actually come in for part of the game or to steal it if Nazareth was able to get the lead. I think that Jarek has about 16 to 18 pitches left from last night, so it might be interesting to see as we go late innings in a third game. All presumptuous right now, because we have to get through the order, get these three outs, and maintain the lead. But if that was to happen, it could be really interesting from a pitching perspective here for game three. right, and trying to finish things off here. Again, 72 pitches in six innings, so a really good pitch count per inning for him today. And again, Hyman doing a good job in the mid-80s for him. And that's by far the most pitches he's thrown in the game on the season to try to go ahead and keep his team in things here. Number 14, Tanner Birkenfeld, the center fielder, will lead things off for the Swifts here in the top of the seventh inning. One of their two left-handed hitters. It's always mentioned because I'm left-handed. So, it's a little left-handed pride there. Brighton gets set to deliver. Ball outside. Again, for as many people as there are here right now, it is extremely quiet out there. Everybody really focused in here on the game. Ball just foul as it hopped down the first baseline. I mean, maybe 6 inches foul, or if that would have gone for extra bases. Instead, the count evens up, one ball, one strike. Top of the seventh inning, Ira Bulldogs lead 7-1 here in game two after Nazareth took game one yesterday, 3-2. Swing up the middle, Derek Pena with the ball, double clutches, throws it to Drew Porter at first base for out number one of the seventh inning. Number 26, Brett Young. Brett, the DH for the Swifts. Umpire went to the Swifts. I got a foul ball that was over there, and they tossed it to him. He looked at it, and he threw it to the third base dugout and gave the sign of that was no good anymore, get rid of it. First pitch high inside for ball one, 1-0. Brighton again taking all the time in the world before he delivers. Down the middle, but low for ball two. 2-0 is the count. One out here in the top of the seventh. And again, ball is low. Brighton falls behind 3-0 in the count. For Brett Young, he was one out. Seventh inning, Ira Bulldogs lead 7-1. Pitch catches the inside corner of the plate for a call strike, so count goes to 3-1. And this time the ball is low and away for ball four. And at this point, Swift will take base runners any way they can possibly get them. So, walk here to Young and bring in a courtesy runner. So Nazareth trying to get something together with one out here, trailing by 6 in the top of the seventh inning. One out, runner on first base. And Welch, the other lefty in the lineup, first baseman, getting ready to come to the plate. Tyler Goodwin having a chat with the home plate home plate umpire about the switch of the runners here at first base. Tyler explaining it again. This time I think he got it. The one out, base runner on first base, scores 7-1, Iowa Bulldogs lead, top of the seventh inning. This is high for ball one. Flags in right center field have kind of shifted direction, coming more out of the north. And we're coming out of the east a little bit ago when all that wind stirred up, and then they turned around and all of that dirt came in from the left field from the west. Ball catches the inside corner of the plate for a called strike, so 1-1. And foul ball back along the third base dugout. Now one ball, two strikes, one out, runner on first base. Every time that door's open, I feel it's just how hot it is out there. Partain slow and deliberate with the delivery here. And inside out swing, the ball is going to be foul down the first baseline. So count holds at one ball, two strikes. Seven to one is the score. NASA tries to put something together here in the top of the sixth inning. Get off the wrist, able to hit the ball down to second, and it says that Drew Porter was pulled off the bag on the soft toss throw by Hernandez at second. So, well, safe at first, so Nazareth has something going here with runners at first and second and one out here on the top of the seventh. Number 11, Braden Bullard, comes to the plate. Swift at first and second, one out. Bullard steps out as Coach Toby Goodwin decides to call a timeout and have conversation with Brighton and his defense here. 7-1 lead, and as I mentioned so many times yesterday, I anticipated a really low scoring game just for the fact that Trent Gerber and Gary Pena were going at each other, two of the better pitchers in the state, and both of them had a lot of success, and it was all that. I mean, came down to a couple of mistakes by either team, but then the Bulldogs able to go ahead 2-1 in the top of the sixth. But Nazareth fought back, bottom of the sixth, scored two runs, and able to go ahead and get out at the top of the seventh without any further damage to take the first game 3-2. Today's game was kind of a toss-up, this first game, because of the two pitchers involved. And we thought maybe some mistakes or some miscues. And kind of what happened is the shortstop in one inning had a couple of errors, and Bulldogs able to put a couple of good hits on the ball. Pitch number one fouled down the third baseline. And we find ourselves here in a 7-1 ball game that doesn't feel like a 7-1 ball game. It feels a lot closer than that. So Nazareth here with runners first and second, one out top of the seventh inning, needs six runs to at least, you know, stay in the ball game or more to potentially win. And you know, Brighton doing what he can to go ahead and keep that from happening. Ball outside off the plate, even the count at 1-1. And Brighton is now up to 86 pitches. And ball too high. 2-1, one out. Runners at first and second for the Swifts. Top of the seventh inning, I revealed a 7-1 lead. But Nazareth threatening. Fly ball to Holden Rios to left field. And the wind takes it over his head. He has to go back for it. One run is going to score. And runners are going to be at second and third. And again, that wind just creating enough havoc where Holden not able to track down the ball. And so the Swifts with one run in now, 7-2, but runners at second and third still with just one out here in the inning. And everybody comes alive now on both sides of the field. Iowa Bulldog fans, you know, screaming for two outs. And Nazareth Swifts fans screaming for more runs. And now Tyler Goodwin wants to come talk to the home plate umpire. Again, just one out. Seems like it's been one out forever now. Top of the seventh. Swift at second and third. One run in. 7-2 is the score. Badger steps in. Bulldog defense at regular depth now. The runners in scoring position. Brighton Partain, strike one down the middle. A big gap right up the middle. Keep that ball to the inside or the outside, keep them from being able to go ahead and take it back up through the box. Pitch high inside, gets in on the hands of the batter, and swings and misses, so he is into the count 0-2. Brighton has now thrown his 90th pitch of the ball game. High and outside. To give you an idea, Brighton had thrown 62 pitches prior to this inning. So he has thrown 29 pitches in this one half inning so far and still just has one out to show for it. So having to really battle here to finish things off. And called strike on a breaking ball. Was in tight and came back, caught a corner of the plate for a called strike three. So that is now two outs. Our Bulldogs one out away from evening this series up and forcing a game three. Will Young, the second baseman, at the plate for Nazareth. Runners still at second and third. 7-2 is the score. Two outs here in the top of the seventh. And Jaron having to jump up in order to go ahead and corral that one. So high ball one. The sun is back out. The wind's still blowing. At least the dirt in left field has gone back where it belongs or been redeposited, one or the other. Again, Jaron having to come up out of his crouch. As Brighton throws ball two, 2-0. If Will gets on, then it brings, makes things really interesting because it brings things up to back to the top of the order for the Swifts. Inside and a little high, and Brighton is behind in the count 3-0. Runners still at second and third. Two outs. And ball four. Ira fans not real happy about that. It looks like it stayed up a little bit. So here we are. Bases loaded. Top of the order. Up. Two outs. Our Bulldogs with what you would think is a comfortable 5-run lead, 7-2. But a couple of hits here and that could change the complexion of this game in a hurry. I've been going back and forth with this batter from last night to today between calling him Luke Schulte, and I just found out I got verified information that Schulte by the same eyes that read the scoreboard, so I trust her. Again, Brighton now up to 97 pitches. For the game. Bases loaded, two outs. Hard hit ball, stopped it short, and the throw goes into right field. It's going into foul territory. Two runs will score, three runs will score. And Shorty ends up safe at third base on the throw. And just like that, changes the entire complexion of the game. And now the Iowa Bulldogs with a meeting at the mound. As we're talking about what was a 6-run game turning into a 2-run game. With now Shorty at third base and the potential tying run at the plate. And the person of the pitcher, Carson Hyman. So if you've ever been in a situation where you can help yourself out immensely, Carson finds himself in it right now with two outs, our Bulldogs holding on to the lead. And again, trying to force a game three as the Swifts are doing all they can to prolong this game. Martin with an off-speed pitch. in over the plate for a called strike one. Again, pretty much what we expected from these two teams. There's no quitting either one. You don't go through an entire season, an entire postseason, and get to a regional final undefeated, as both teams did, without being fighters. Pitch on the outside corner of the plate, called strike two. I'm trying to extend this game. And Brighton Partain doing all he can to go ahead and try to finish this one off. 0-2 count, two outs. And pitch is low and inside for ball one. Carson didn't move. If Jaron hadn't been able to get his glove out there and stop it, it may have hit him in the foot. I don't think that that was going to bother Hyman at all at this point. 1-2 is the count, two outs. And ball is hit down. Nice play by Tyler Goodwin at third base. Unfortunately, he's not playing for us anymore. Count holds at 1-2. Brighton lifts the stretch and the delivery. Ball is popped up into foul territory and out of play. But he stays alive with the count holding at 1-2. I think it's maybe the longest half inning I've ever called. I'm not sure what time they started this one, but I know it was about 50 pitches ago. Everything goes from cheering to complete silence. And a line drive, and Jarrett Pena able to grab it. That ball was headed into left field for another run for the Swifts, but Jarrett Pena lays out and able to go ahead and pick that one off for out number three as the Bulldogs hang on and take game two, 7-5. And, wow, just like that. Here we are set up for game three. It's a three-game series for a reason, and winner take all in this last one. But that was just an exceptional play right there by Jarrett Pena as he laid out completely.